The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Che, we got JR, we got you. On a football Friday with open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Thanks so much for being a partner with us for our Twitch. And my friend, here we go, Bears and Vikings. Another game and another test for this team to try to get a W. All is, for me and for you, it's about development. Let's see what the Bears can do against a pretty good Vikings team.
My friend John, I was driving in today and I was thinking about this. Those that fail to acknowledge history are doomed to repeat it. And by that I mean this organization that we like to call the Chicago Bears. Think back. How this team, how inept they have been run because they continue to make the same mistake time and time again. Go back to when they traded for Jay Cutler. They wouldn't make that same trade again. He gave you a 52-52 record. I think you won one playoff game against a 7-9 Seahawks team. That's it. That all said, they surround him with top-flight offensive coordinator. It changed like you change underwear.
Exactly right. He had a ton of offensive coordinators.
We went to Ron Turner, to Mike Tice, to Mike Martz. I mean, it was just a joke. Did they give him a top-flight offensive line?
No.
No.
Never happened.
Did they give him a number one wide receiver?
I'd have to say no.
So then they fire the head coach. They fired the GM, Jerry Angelo. Get out. Okay. Did you let the new GM bring his own coach in? The answer is no.
No.
He goes 10-6, then you fire the coach. Now, a year later, you fire the GM again.
Yes, Phil Emery.
And you fire his handpicked coach after two seasons.
Trust me.
Now, do you let Ryan Pace hire the coach he wants?
Did not.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Thanks, George. No, you did not. We know better, us and Ernie Accorsi, so we're going to make you hire John Fox and give him his golden parachute and move on. Okay, now we're going to trade up and get Mitch Trubisky. We're not going to have dinner with Deshaun Watson. We'll talk to Mahomes, but we're scope locked on Mitchell Trubisky.
And the Bears get that right. Go ahead.
And have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
All right, get out of there, Ted.
Okay, hold on.
Mayor Daley.
Let me just finish this out.
Get out of there.
Okay, so now you don't let Ryan Pace have the coach he wants. Nope, we know better. We're going to give you this old dude who's cashing one more big check.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
No blank. Now you don't do the proper due diligence because your young GM is it good enough? He doesn't tell his head coach what he's doing until 2 hours before the draft. I made a trade, just letting you know. What?
Right.
He wanted Jamal Adams. Nope, you're not getting a shiny new safety toy for your defense, I traded. I'm getting Mitchell Trubisky. Now, after a year, Mitch learns Fox's offense. Right. We're going to sit Mitch the entire year and let him learn. He's not very experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Four games. Get in there. He doesn't play very well, and we wonder why. Now we fire that head coach and bring in a new one who says, could take 5 years to learn my offense. It's the most complex offense in the league, but when you learn it, it's amazing.
Mm.
Now Mitch doesn't do well. We keep Nagy and Pace. We allow them to trade up more draft capital to go get another quarterback, and after a year, fire them.
Yes.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Now you get another Ryan and Matt in here.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have wanted Justin Fields. We don't know that. Justin is on pace. We talked about this in our morning get-together. Justin is on pace. Let me make sure you're listening clearly here. I hope you use Q-tips. The single worst offensive season by a quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
You want the stat?
Yeah.
So I heard this on the way in. Justin Fields is on pace to have the fewest completions in NFL history. If you extrapolate his pace out to the end of this season, he will finish with the fewest completions in NFL history by 70 over the second fewest. And that's with a 17th game.
Okay, so he's, and a lot of the dudes on that list played 14 games.
Correct.
Okay. So now, at the end of the year, with this moribund franchise that we've got, that's, they ain't going to win a lot of games, folks. You're going to go, we're picking number four. You know what? Maybe we should trade draft capital. We got to get that C.J. Stroud guy or that Bryce Young guy or some other dude that has an amazing combine. And then a year in, that won't look good. I don't know. Did we get that one right? It's like a hamster on a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Just keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, so we had the great line, pop-up championship.
Yeah, pop-up store.
He doesn't want the pop-up store. He wants, wow, what a beautiful building, and it stands the test of time, and for a decade, we've got a stud. I'll take a pop-up. We don't get anything. This team stinks. And had they allowed Ryan Pace, the Seahawks, to make that trade a year ago, 2 years ago now. Remember the stories came out that they were in North Dakota at Trey Lance's Pro Day. Every team was represented. There's all 32 GMs there.
Mm-hmm.
It's during the pandemic. And Ryan Pace and John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, let's step outside the building. And there were pictures. They're talking. Reportedly, the offer was three number one picks, a number two pick, and a player. Can you imagine? I watched Russell Wilson last night. That ain't the same guy. He looks horrific.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah, we don't have our 2022 number one. We don't have our 2023 number one. And we don't have our 2024 number one. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that situation?
Yeah.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's go, Broncos country.
Not great, huh?
Holy smoke. So, folks, my whole point of this soliloquy is those that fail to understand history are doomed to repeat it. Let Ryan Poles do whatever it is he has to do. And if he determines that Justin Fields isn't the guy, cut bait, move on, and give this man whatever he needs. And at the end of 4 or 5 years, we can then evaluate him. I don't want to hear in 3 years, well, that actually wasn't my guy. I just rode with him.
Well, from my standpoint, Cap, is that I know the numbers. We all have read the numbers of the ineptitude of this Bears offense. And the whole point is that we hope is that those numbers are not going to be the same in November, December, or the end of the regular season. That's the hope. Yeah, at this point in time through the first four games, it doesn't look good. But as a Bears fan, I'm hoping for better for Justin Fields because I've been saying this ad nauseum on the show. Everything is predicated on Justin Fields and his development.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks bad now. But the hope is that it turns in the right direction toward the, at least toward the middle or to the end of the season. Like, he's got a whole year to try to stay healthy, to try to survive that offensive line, to survive all of this season in transition, and to be a better quarterback. Now, we've asked in so many different ways, how do you evaluate Justin Fields? Well, I evaluate Justin Fields not based on press conferences, because if that was the case, it would be an F. I don't evaluate what I hear from him through press conferences or hear or read about what's going on in practice, because that doesn't matter to me. Because the games are on Sunday, or after the game against the Vikings, it's going to be on Thursday against Washington. I don't care about what I read about in practice. What I want to see is, in a game scenario, how he's able to flourish offensively. That's what it comes down to.
He has no help.
No, I know that. But here's the thing, Cap. Like, between now and the end of the regular season, you got to have some kind of letter grade on him. You got to have some kind of evaluation, okay, knowing that there's not a lot of talent on the football team.
Okay, we played a cut several weeks ago from Steve Young, Hall of Fame quarterback, and you and I discussed it.
Yeah.
And Steve Young said, you are not going to be able to evaluate him on what happens on Sundays. You're going to know if that kid is your guy by what you see in practice, in the virtual reality room they use, how he is in meetings. You'll know. Does that guy know where the ball's supposed to go? Maybe he can't get it there because there's no separation, or he's on his ass because our offensive line stinks. So my question is, if all those other boxes are checked and Ryan Poles is like, Justin, we'll get you some help, man. I understand. Just handle adversity this year. Would you be okay with that if you don't see it on Sundays, Thursdays, Mondays, whenever we're playing? Because that team's bad.
Well, I kind of think that's what this all is, isn't it? This is a test on the metal of Justin Fields, isn't it? His heart. How can he be able to deal with all of this? Look around. Look around the National Football League and then look at your team. You know your team doesn't have a lot of talent. I want to say that Justin Fields might have said that, hey, we do not have frontline wide receivers. Didn't we play that this summer? Didn't he say something like, hey, we don't have receiver X, receiver Y, whatever
it was? He said we don't have big names.
Big names. That's
but we have guys that are talented that can play.
But you know what he meant. He looked around and looked at that depth chart and says, I don't see any all pros on this team. And you don't on the offense. You don't have all pros there.
There's nobody.
So I think that what you just laid out is exactly what Justin Fields has to deal with. And that is someone that's got to deal with all this mess until it gets right. And so if you're Poles, you're watching. Is he sulking? Is he bitching behind the scenes? Is he a leader or not while all this is going on?
Bingo.
Because now that will tell you whether or not he can be with your ball club for the long haul or not.
Bingo. That's it. Now, again, that does not excuse putting on the All-22 and going, dude, we call the play. You got a guy right there, 8 yards, easy pitch and catch, make the throw, and he does not pull the trigger. Now, we have audio we played. We had Dan Orlovsky on yesterday. Yep. We got to play that cut where he talked about, in a vacuum, one play, you can't go, well, that play was open, why didn't you throw it? Because of all the other nonsense going on in the other play.
Well, one thing for sure, when it comes to players and coaches, they can never be fans. We completely understand that players and coaches on this Bears team, they can never be fans. We'll explain that because Luke Getsy sees something that we as fans don't see at all. It's two different sides of the coin with the Chicago Bears. The Hallis Hall side of the coin and we as fans in reality. We'll explain that coming up next as we talk to you about the Bears on a Football Friday on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us here on this rainy Football Friday. Black and Abdallah will be in at 10. They'll be in for Greeny right here on ESPN 1000. So what I was telling you, Cap, is that players and coaches, they can never be fans. They can never feel like we feel, at least not in the public, because they have to protect their players. You got to protect the team. But, you know, there is a, when you go to a coaching clinic or when you are in meetings, and you've been part of this as well, what do you guys talk about so much as coaches? Hope, right? Talk about hope and talking about development and all these things, right?
Got to get I remember every day, we just want to get better today than we were yesterday. That's it.
And so, and House Hall, they're insulating themselves from what we're talking about, what the fans are talking about. All they see is a 2-2 record. Hey, we're not bad, we're not good, but you know, we're 2-2, we're 500, and we're hanging in there. That's the message within the hallways, I bet you, right? That's usually how it works. Mm-hmm. We're not 0-4, we're 2-2. So we're not bad, we're not good. Luke Getsy is the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. He talked about a myriad of things, including talking about Fields' struggles. Does he see Fields' struggles? Do we see Fields' struggles? Listen.
You guys are 2-2, but Justin personally has had a rough month. Do you worry about what this does to his confidence, to his the way he carries himself, anything like that?
Well, I don't think he's had a rough month. I think he's gotten better each week. I think he's growing tremendously. And, you know, it's not easy. We're playing good football teams, and it's not easy to become, you know, the level quarterback that he wants to become, and I know that he can become, and the important thing is that we stay focused, we keep our eyes on that progress or on that process, and we make sure we get better each and every week, and I believe that we're in that phase.
Can you tell by the questions we ask that there's a disparity between how we see Fields and how you do?
I really don't. You know, I know what I know, and I believe what I believe, and what we do in this building is what we pay attention to. And, you know, the questions that you ask, that's your right to ask whatever you want, and as long as we stay focused on what we know and what we believe on, we know that in the end we're going to get where we want to get to. So,
He's had a 50% completion percent, right? Nine touchdowns in his career.
He should have less than 50% because he should have thrown about 6 or 8 of them away. Instead of taking some sacks, so he actually should have less than that. Yeah.
Okay. Hear that? I guess my point is like, what would you consider struggling? Because like, to us, it looks like he still has like pads, and he looks like he has had a rough month.
No, the areas of improvement are right when you know he needs to hit Tristan on that flat route. We need to hit Cole a couple weeks back when he has him open in the seam. You know when the protection breaks down, right? Which he's had to face a lot of that. This game he handled it better than any other game. And so we just got to keep improving upon that. And so he's doing that. And it takes a lot, man. I mean, the toughness that kid has to be able to handle and deal with what he's dealing with, I mean, it's impressive that a young man with that can be that strong and that tough. I mean, to take hits that he takes week in and week out and then stand back up there, that speaks volumes of that young man.
You know, people lie, but numbers don't. JR, something rang a bell in that 2 minutes that we heard from Getsy. Especially talking about things that Justin should have done, correct?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a rough month and his decision-making, well, you know, he shouldn't have those sacks, he should have thrown some. Well, that's part of the rough month, isn't it?
Yeah, and I agree with the last thing he said there, and I applaud him for saying it.
Sure.
Justin Fields is a tough hombre. He is. He is getting the ever-living H beat out of him on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And we've got a Dan Orlovsky cut that I will get to. Justin is getting pounded on, and he stands back up, and he tries, and he's hanging in there. But that also does not excuse simple throws that he is looking right at the receiver and not pulling the trigger and running into sacks. Some of those sacks are on him. That's a fact. Just put the tape on.
Well, he's put the tape on, but he's going to tell you something totally different than what we've all seen. And that's the issue. So I understand that he's not going to criticize Fields like we're going to criticize Fields, or the fans are looking at the offense and say, boy, you got to get more for him, or Justin's got to be better. Whatever it is not good enough. But the idea that he sees improvement, and let me just tell you something. The improvement that you might see in practice is not resonating on Sundays. If you're saying that you see improvement with him as far as film study or him getting along with teammates or what you see in practice, whatever it is, Cap, all I care about is when the Bears play. You can tell me about how hard you prepared. If you don't execute, though, that's on you. So I don't like when coaches are trying to lie to me to make it seem like, well, everything's fine and rosy. As I've given you the whole Pleasantville thing, everything's fine. The pie is cooling on the windowsill, and there's Aunt B, and she's going to make up some victuals, and it's going to be a great dinner. Everything's going to be fine. No, everything's not fine because
correct.
The offense could be a lot better, and the defense could be a lot better. But don't lie. There's somewhere in the middle where you could say, hey, we're happy with 2-2, but we got a lot of work to do.
It's a horrifically bad football team. Horrific. And I don't know how many weeks ago, you might have the date on your soundboard over there. What was the date Mike Martz made his original comments that had everybody enraged?
September 12th.
I'm just shocked, shocked at the Bears. I mean, they took this quarterback. They went up and they spent a lot to get him, and he was less than remarkable would be the kindest thing that you could say about him. I don't know if I've ever seen such a bad performance by a quarterback in his opening performance of the season. Like, he was just completely awful. He really deflated the football team with his performance. They just, you know, when you get a quarterback, they can't do anything at all. And defensively, you shut him out basically for a half. You kind of lose hope. You know, right now they're a team without hope.
There's a blend of Fields and Trey Lance in that
correct.
Segment.
The second half where he couldn't do anything in the second half, that was Lance. It was poorly edited by whoever the editors were at NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that was about Justin, and then he went on a media tour just to make, hey, some of that was Trey Lance, but yes, I have concerns about Justin Fields. And then he did go on to say, the worst offensive personnel since the winless Detroit Lions. What year was that?
2008?
2008. The winless.
The Orlovsky Lions.
Was he the starter then? I know he was on that team.
He did start a couple games because I can't remember who the other quarterback was, got hurt.
And that on top of all of that, Rod Marinelli was the head coach. Mm-hmm. They were horrific, and he compared them and everyone. What does Mike Martz know? That guy's an idiot. Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator of the greatest show on turf.
Yes.
Head coach took the team to the Super Bowl, lost at the end. Mike Martz has developed multiple quarterbacks, called plays successfully in the NFL. He is a football genius.
Well, we don't need Mike Martz bona fides. I mean, that's one Google search. I mean, if keep in mind that fans want to be right about their team. It's about being justified. That's what it is. They want to be right about their team. It could be any expert. If they're casting any aspersions against their team, how could you talk about my team that way? That's just part of fandom, Cap. I accept that as correct. A fan. I totally understand that because my independent thought is based on what I watch on television.
Correct.
And of course, there's always experts. Mike Martz is an expert as well because he's been there and I have not.
Correct.
So I rule that out of hand when I hear that because my focus is, no matter what anyone says, what are you going to do about it as an organization? What are you going to do about it? How do you make it better? That's correct. The whole thing with that. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's open the phone line, Shay, for the first time here in the program. Let's ask the question on Cap and Jay Hood. What will growth look like for Justin Fields? I mean, from your standpoint as a fan, what does growth look like? Because based on Luke Getsy, he sees growth. And I'm thinking, well, hey, man, the numbers don't lie. You can see how the offense is going backwards. Shay, it's not going in the right direction. And so, but I believe that at some point in these coin flip games I've told you about, that we're going to see what is going to be coined a Justin Fields game, where he does connect to Mooney. They can get it down the field. It will click because it is the National Football League.
I thought he was better against not good.
Yeah.
It was clear yesterday when I broke the tape down and I gave you all my thoughts.
Yeah.
He wasn't good against the Giants. He was better than he was the week before. Mm-hmm. I don't think they win Sunday. I don't. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. That'd be fine. Like the Washington game. You can't lose that game at home. You cannot.
Well, you hope not.
You might.
Doctor.
You got a bad team, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they getting Chase Young back for that game, Washington?
I'll check.
I mean, Chase Young was a monster till he tore his ACL a year ago. Monster. Who's blocking him? I don't know.
I don't like when you coaches lie. Don't tell me what I'm watching the games. We know what's going on.
Correct.
You can preach that positivity within the walls of House Hall, but there's a way to say, hey, with a wink and a nod, I know, and we're going to get this better. We're going to get this turned around.
See, I would have preferred. Now, again, Luke, I want Luke Getsy to be honest.
Yeah.
And maybe he was being honest. Then I would question his sanity at times. I would have preferred he had said, yeah, it was a rough month. We're 4 weeks in to a whole new regime, a whole new offense, we're working on it.
Yeah.
And guys are battling hard, and we got their backs, and we're trying.
All good.
Rough month? I didn't see that. Really?
Come on, brother. But at House Hall, it wasn't a rough month. On Sundays, when they play, it is rough.
Yeah.
So what does growth look like when it comes to Justin Fields? Cap and I want to get your phone calls here on this Football Friday, our last chance to talk before the Bears take on the Vikings. So jump in with us, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Your phone calls next, as well as hearing from Dan Orlovsky. The most important thing this season for the Bears is, we'll get to that coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That ESPN Chicago app where you can find Snorling You, the college football podcast, available on the Cap and Jay Hood feed. Just go to the Cap and Jay Hood feed, click Snorling You. You want to get ready for the college football Saturday? Shay Norling's got you ready with Snorling You right there on the Cap and Jay Hood feed on the ESPN Chicago app. Great to have you in today on this Football Friday. Cap and I are talking to you about the Bears. Bears getting ready to take on the Vikings. What's the official line, my friend? 6.5. You get down on that yet? Or
I got down on it when it was 7. I bought it down to 6.5. So I have the Vikings minus 6.5.
It's about right, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's about right.
In fact, let me log in. And I will give you the exact line for what we've got going here this weekend. I think the line could even creep up more. I really do. Mm-hmm. I understand. I think it's a really tough. If Jalen Johnson doesn't play, it's a really, really bad matchup for the Chicago Bears, because who's guarding Justin Jefferson?
Right.
And if you put your best guy there, who's handling 10 touchdowns a year ago, Adam Thielen? How about K.J. Osborne? How about Irv Smith? Oh, wait a minute. We're going to run Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, that's a real test for a very young secondary. It's no shot at Eddie Jackson, because he's been a ball hawk so far. One of the positives of the season so far.
7.5. And 44 is the latest total on PointsBet. And if you're frisky that the Bears are going to win, plus 280. Vikings minus 350 on the money line. And make sure you listen to our pregame coverage, Meller and Miller. We've got postgame coverage. And all day long, you've got Black and Abdallah in at 10 today. You've got Carmen Yerk at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2 on your Chicago sports leader and your home for the best Bears coverage, ESPN 1000.
Yeah, solid promo. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to hear
from Carmen and Yurko at Hooters in Orland Park, presented by Alta Equipment today.
Okay, what else do you want to promote there?
I don't know. Whatever else Danny puts in front of me.
Well, we have a night programming as well.
Padres and Mets in the playoffs. And 6 to 6:30, Tyler Rocky. Okay, now we got it.
How about after Padres Mets?
I don't know.
Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
I will be at a concert.
So it doesn't matter. It shuts down.
I just don't know. I only can read the board
unbelievable.
That Jay put there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's get back on track here and talk a little bit about the Bears. We're going to hear from Dan Orlovsky in just a moment. He had some really interesting things to say about the Bears and Justin Fields. Kevin and Oakbrook on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Love the show.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Kev.
Yeah, you've been a tremendous pairing, but I am still waiting for my cap and hoodie from Obvious Shirt. So hopefully our guy's listening, and it's up on the website.
Joe Johnson, get on that. That's right.
Yes, come on. It's hoodie weather, right?
Yeah, every time I step outside, it's hoodie weather, pal. Yeah.
Take that. What's on your mind?
So You guys asked what growth looks like for Fields, and the first thing that popped in my head was something that Getsy said. I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but around decision-making, he made a comment in response to a reporter's question where he said, well, you know, Justin should have thrown the ball away 4 or 5 times, so it would have affected, you know, some percentage or whatever. But I think that's one thing that's missing with him and a lot of young quarterbacks is, you know, live to play another down as opposed to trying to play hero. And I hate to say it, but, like, Aaron Rodgers is really good at that. He doesn't say anything. He dumps it, and he's like, I'm not going to lose, and I'm not going to make a stupid play. So if he starts doing things like that and recognizing when he has nothing, I think that's what growth looks like. Thanks, guys.
Kevin,
appreciate
thanks for the phone
you, man.
Call. Sean on the north side on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Sean.
Yeah, I just had a question about like the growth of Fields or the question. And it seems to me like that he's kind of playing not to make a mistake and kind of holding on to the ball. And I just had a question of whether you guys think that it would be better if he just got rid of the ball. And if he makes a mistake, throws an interception, you know, they look at it and see, you know, like, hey, this is what he did. Other than him just standing back there and taking hits, you know, let him get rid of the ball. And you know, it seems like a lot of young quarterbacks, you know, around the league, you know, they took their lumps of, you know, throwing interceptions and not being scared to throw the ball.
Well, let's address that, Sean, and thanks for the phone call. So when we take a look at the actual game when they've played on Sunday, or if you watch the All-22, everything is based on whether or not someone's open or not. It's everything's timing. Everything has to work in concert. It's not just the quarterback just there by himself and no one's rushing. He's got to make sure his offensive line, his fullback, his tight end are protecting so he has enough time to throw. The receivers have to be open. And also, it's a timing thing. Justin has to be able to throw the football when someone is open. The windows are so small in this league.
Yes.
You got to get it there, man. Got to get it there.
That's why when they play the two-man game, you got two guys to the right, and you got a defensive back playing up that they're giving you. Throw it! There are times Luke Getsy has got to be looking at his play card going, what are you doing? I gave you an 8-yard gain, a 6-yard gain. Take it! And he doesn't throw the ball.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Dan Orlovsky spent time with us yesterday on Cap and Jay Hood. You can go back to the archives from yesterday, hour two, when we had him on talking about the Bears. So Dan said a couple of things that really stood out. Cap, he says, the most important thing this season is...
the biggest thing this year is, Justin, do not get mentally broken. Mentally handle all this. And candidly, guys, I actually asked Ryan Poles this in the preseason. I looked him dead in the eye. He was great. And I said, Ryan, all due respect, there's no way that you can sit here and tell me that you expect intimate progress out of Justin physically. There's no way. And I was like, what do you want out of him? What do you expect out of him? And he looked right at me and he said, I want him mentally to handle everything. I want him to just mentally handle it all. And that's what I would expect. What can they do? They can hope and look for their quarterback in the midst of a bad situation to become so hardened and so resilient, and so I'm going to continue to claw while also not building bad habits. If he can do that this year, then you got to feel really good about going into next year with the cap space. But to sit here and tell everybody, I'd be lying to him. I'd be lying to everybody sitting here telling, you expect Justin to get a lot better as a physical performer on the field. That's not going to happen this year. Well, I want him to operate this play perfectly. It's there for him. Sure, that sounds great. Like, there's a part of that I understand, but the last four plays he's run for his life. So now he's just supposed to kind of blindly have the faith and assume that everything's going to be okay on this rep. And even if so, it is. We want him to be perfect in it. And that's a really hard place for a young kid to be in. And so he's in a tough spot.
Thoughts there from Dan Orlovsky from ESPN.
The first part goes back to our Steve Young conversation. The second part, though, he's right. I get dropped back, and four times in a row, you get the crap beaten out of you. The fifth time you drop back and you look, and Cole Kmet's open 22 yards down the field, and you're like, you're looking around going, am I about to get hit again? I understand it. That's probably what he means when Ryan Poles said, I want you to handle everything and don't get broken.
To find out whether or not you can be the guy for some time to come. If I look at you and evaluate you based on you not being able to handle the situation, then maybe you're not the guy. No matter what's going on, we're putting out there some nonsense. Guys that are inferior talent. Can you handle this season? Are you going to go to the press and talk about how this sucks? Are you going to sulk?
Correct.
Are you going to throw it into the ground?
Right. If Justin came to the press, he talks every Wednesday and then after every game.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Justin, tough night. You know, whatever happened, blah, blah, blah. You got drilled. Your numbers were. Hey, I got no receivers. The O-line stinks.
Oh, man.
Coordinator's not calling good plays. Okay, you're not the guy then.
Right.
Instead of, guys, I got players around me. We're trying to make play. That, there's a way to handle it all.
Yes. You think he's handling it well so far through four games? Very short. Very curt.
Curt. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Again, just put the tape on. There are plays that he's going to have to learn to make.
Mm-hmm. All part of the learning curve.
Yes.
It's about our young secondary, too. And Braxton Jones, the offensive line. And Velus Jones. All those guys have to learn. That's why they're rookies, pal.
It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process.
When you are, if you are on hold, we will take your phone calls on the Bears, 312-332-3776. Cap and I want to find out from you, what will growth look like for Justin Fields in your eyes? Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock, all part of the mix on Cap and J-Hood.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Music director in there dropped the ball.
Show just started 52 minutes ago. What do you mean?
I said, hey, get some music. I'm going to the concert at Chicago Theater tonight. I have a few drinks. Yeah.
Uh-oh. You're going to get JR mad now.
B-52s, Casey and the Sunshine Band,
anytime you'd like to discuss this with me, I have music ready, Cap. You know, we talk about the things we do on the show before we actually do them.
We did. Go ahead, Hoodie. Back to the calls.
Boys, good morning.
What's up, Eddie?
Go ahead, Ed. No introduction
okay,
needed.
So
go right ahead.
The biggest asset to a quarterback is the clock. And no coaches can teach somebody that. Justin has to just do it by himself. And I believe that's exactly what Josh Allen did these past couple of years. Just sit there and think quicker, get the ball out quicker. And we cannot say that they don't have receivers. I mean, look at the St. Brown guy on Detroit. Drafted in the fourth round, I don't even know what pick. He looks pretty good now because the quarterback is getting him the ball. It can't be a wide-open guy all the time. He's got to make tight throws where only his receiver are able to catch him.
Eddie, there are multiple times where his guys have zero separation, like none.
You see it, Eddie, right?
But the more time that he takes to make a decision, the more times he'll collapse on the receivers also. It's all about the clock. That's what makes a great quarterback, I believe, than one that isn't. And the next thing is Russell Wilson. We talked about him just like we did Patrick Mahomes back when he won that Super Bowl, and he looks terrific now.
Ted,
I can see him walking away in a year or two. All the stuff he's got, you know,
not from that money.
He's got money.
Hold on a second, Eddie. Ted in Lakeview, do you agree with Eddie, Ted?
I don't know if I agree with Eddie. I mean, my point is the context of how is Justin progressing compared to other quarterbacks. So he brought up Josh Allen. That's a good point. We need to know how bad basically the great quarterbacks were in their first year, second year. And see if he's making similar, similar steps. Like even a guy like Peyton Manning, his first year he was awful. Tom Brady's numbers weren't good in his first few years. Ben Roethlisberger's numbers weren't good in their first few years. I know they won Super Bowls. They were on great teams, but this is a process, and I think we got to compare Justin Fields in like a greater context against the kind of great quarterbacks we want him to be.
What do you think of that, Eddie?
Yeah, I agree, but the thing that he has to do is all them other great quarterbacks, and I know what they did, is not run all the time. Josh Allen started staying in the pocket and made decisions quicker.
Yeah, well, they went and got him Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, Isaiah McKenzie, Singletary. They added to their offensive line, and oh, by the way, they have a great defense. Like, we don't have any of that.
Ted, you had the last word. Go ahead, Ted. Teddy, go ahead.
I got no last word. I was not expecting to go point counterpoint versus Eddie here on my Friday morning rainy commute.
But you always have good thoughts, and it's a group think. We got to talk about this as a collective, as a group.
Okay, let's just make it a group therapy session. I'm worried about Fields, man. I'm really worried about him, and I'm just trying to say, like, let's compare him to some previous great quarterbacks. I wish I saw, like, a spreadsheet. Like, I wish somebody at ESPN did this and, like, showed, like, QBR or, you know, completion percentage, maybe even, like, how long they're waiting to get rid of the ball in the pocket, some of those sort of, like, more advanced stats to see, like, what we really have here. Like, what's the data telling us? Anyway, that's all I got, guys. Love the show.
Have a great day, man. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate you.
Good job, guys.
How there about you go. That? Take that.
On this edition of Crossfire. 312-332.
Thanks, Lou Dobbs. Is it Lou Dobbs? Yeah. Wow.
Very good. You have the last word. Trevor in Johnsburg on ESPN 1000 as we talk Bears. Hello, Trev.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I got a one bone to pick with Cap that he's kind of been bringing up. I know he hit it a little bit last week. And that's this narrative that it's Justin Fields' rookie season. And that narrative, I know it's getting pushed out by a lot of people, but it's
funny. I think you got me confused. I never said that.
No, last week, you totally were pumping that stuff. And the only thing I said is
it's a new system, and he did not start all of last year. It's a brand-new, complex system.
I agree with you. It's a new system. But the fact that this dude started 10 games last season, played in 12, and we got analysts out there just saying that it's his rookie season. And it's not. It's absolutely not his rookie season. He's actually making more mistakes than he did in his rookie season.
I don't know if I agree with that. He's got less talent around him this year than he had last year. Their offensive line wasn't good last year, but it wasn't this bad.
How about this, Trevor? Here's what I'll do. I'll move out the Nagy administration, and this is his first official year as a starter for me. That fair? That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's more than fair. Again,
this year.
He did play a number of NFL games to learn what the speed was. Remember his comment? It's not any faster up here. Slow.
He learned.
Yeah, real quick. Remember, who was the defensive player that sacked him and went, is that slow?
We have got Shot or No Shot in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.